Welcome to Mindful Living with Miraval on the Mrs. Green's World Radio and Podcast Network. Miraval Resort and Spa has been blessed with the most amazing team of healers, health practitioners, and wellness providers who spend their lives creating and teaching the magic of living in the moment. Today, we're going to hear some of their stories.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Mindful Living with Miraval Resort and Spa. This is Gina Murphy-Darling from the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network. Our guest for this segment of Mindful Living is Ann Parker, a wellness counselor at Miraval. Our topic for today is from Ann's chapter in the latest book from this award-winning destination. The book is called Mindful Living by Miraval. Ann is going to share with us some of her thoughts about finding balance in an unbalanced world. Ann, I am truly delighted to have you as our guest for this Mindful Living series. And I know that you have wonderful pearls of wisdom to share with us that will help us in our never-ending quest to truly find some balance in this fast-paced world of ours. I think it's one of the biggest challenges we face as busy people leading busy lives. So let's hear what Ann Parker has to say about what is your view of how we begin to create balance in our life?
Well, I think the first thing we have to remember is, and I always start with this, is to remember that balance is not just a noun, it's a verb. And the reason I say that is because I think one of the things that hangs us up when we talk about balance and try to create balance is we think of balance as it's something we have to achieve by getting things into the proper proportions and proper ratios in our life. And what I hear from people all the time, that balance ends up just becoming another stressor because it's one more thing on their to-do list they can't seem to accomplish.
It's so funny. Yes, I get it. It's like, oh, I've got to find balance too.
Exactly. I got to find it. Where is it? And so I always go back to this idea of balance is also a verb. And if we remember that, then what we remember is that balance is in motion. It's active. And so it's not really that we're trying to find balance or achieve balance as if it's a thing. It's more we are constantly balancing. And if we approach balance from that perspective in our lives, it not only becomes doable, but it's something that flows as life flows.
And that makes sense. So go ahead. Because there's a part.
Yeah, well, one of the images that I think is really important, the typical metaphor that we always use when we talk about balance is the person walking the tightrope. And there's lots of things that person is doing to successfully balance on that tightrope. But fundamentally, what they're doing is they're constantly returning to center. They shift a little to the right, they come back to center. They shift a little to the left, they come back to the center. They shift a lot to the left, they come back to center. And so my approach to teaching balance is really that we need to refocus not on all the things external that are going on in our lives, but what's our center? What is it that we are nurturing within ourselves that we can come back to when we do feel out of balance? Because my view is the bottom line in our busy lives, as you said, we're going to have times when we feel out of balance. That's just the human condition. And so the real key to balance is, where's my center? How do I get back to it? And what do I do to constantly nurture that center so I have it to come back to?
And it can be a couple of seconds, even like a mental trigger that you say to yourself, breathe, things like that.
Absolutely. One of my favorites is what I call BFF. Now, I don't mean best friend forever.
Okay.
What I mean by BFF is breathe and feel your feet.
Oh, my gosh. Okay,
and the
reason I
use that little acronym is because we all know how important the breath is to bring us present and to begin to modulate the stress response. But if in that moment I'm taking a conscious breath, I can also feel my feet, then I'm grounded. I have a sense of center. I have a sense of foundation underneath me. And I have found, even in my busy days as a hospital executive, if I could breathe and feel my feet in that instant, it didn't change whatever the stressor was. It didn't change whatever was knocking me off balance, but it changed me, which then allowed me to interact with whatever that stressor is differently and usually much more effectively.
And it takes practice. And I love about what you said, that if you're not doing it, you don't have to beat yourself up. Just keep working on the practice of finding that balance. And, you know, the actual chapter, I think the exact name of your chapter is Opening Your Heart, Finding Joy, Balance, and Purpose, Even in the Middle of Everyday Stress. Not a lot of people use the word joy these days, and I love that word, and I wish more of us would do it. You know, the birth of a grandchild is joy. When you see a beautiful flower, it's joy. How do we create joy? You don't find joy, I don't think. I think you create it, but you're the wellness expert that's going to tell us if you find it or do you create it?
Well, I think you create it by finding it, actually.
I love that.
I would actually use the word we've created by noticing it.
Okay.
Again, part of my approach is that the joy is always there. If we wait for external things to be just right to have joy, then we're very rarely going to have joy, and it's going to be very fleeting. So what I think joy is really about is noticing those joyful moments, those joyful impulses, those joyful expressions that come from within or without, and acknowledging those even in the midst of what I call the stuff of life. There's always going to be stuff. And so what we have to do, instead of thinking of this idea of I'm either joyful or I'm not, what about there's this stressful thing going on and I'm joyful?
Combining it, it's embracing
that I'm not very happy
again.
About.
Yes.
And I'm also noticing the joyful moments.
Right. Because being too busy can be a lot better and a lot more joyful than someone that lost their job or someone that has an illness that can't do anything. So that really hit me when you said that. Find joy,
yeah,
even in the crazy, stress-free world. Now, this is one that I want to ask you because we talk about it a lot with our friends and with the people on the Mrs. Green team. Do you think that things seem to be kind of like accelerating and ramping up? There's all of the social media. There's emails. There's instant connection with texting. Is that a part of what I perceive to be the increased stressful state in which we all seem to live?
Well, I think it is. And I think it's really not the technology itself, but the sense of urgency that we create with the technology. You know, one of the things that I find very interesting is how often when I'm talking to people, they use the word crisis, or they use the word emergency, or they use the word, you know, those kinds of intense, urgent words. And I think part of what's happened is because of the speed of information and communication, we've suddenly interpreted speed as urgency. When what I've found is that usually it's not as urgent as it ever was. I've just fooled myself into thinking it's urgent because it's right in front of me. And so one of the things that I think is really important with media and all of those devices and all of the input that we get in our lives is to make conscious choices about when and how we interact with it. And just because that email's coming in, sure, you might want to look at it, but it doesn't mean you have to respond right then.
It's
just
such
because
a good
you got
reminder.
It doesn't mean, doesn't mean it's a fire that has to be put out.
And life goes on, and the world keeps spinning, and the sun comes up the next day. And believe me, your words of wisdom are landing on me because I have to remember that. Just because I got an email doesn't mean I have to answer it in Gina time or whoever's time. It's the expectations that we set for ourselves that do not cause a lot of joy or don't result in a lot of joy.
Well, that's right. And if we're responding to things from that urgent place, what that means is that we've just put ourselves into the stress response. And when we're in that stressful state physiologically, that's not a place where it's very easy to notice the joy.
Right. And we need to, oh my gosh, it's like this is like a prescription for me in this time at this moment. And I'm sure lots of the people that will be listening to this podcast over and over. Now, people talk about comfort zones. I'm not even sure I know what my comfort zone is anymore, but I know I have one. So what do we need to do? How do we have to rethink this, rephrase the messages in our mind to get out of our comfort zones? What's your advice on that one?
Well, I think what we have to remember is that our comfort zone is always something that's familiar. our comfort zones are not necessarily things that are working for us. Our comfort zones are usually things that we're most familiar with. And so what we have to remember is that if we want to truly get out of a comfort zone, start a new habit, start a new routine, create a new pattern, what it means is that by definition, getting out of your comfort zone is going to be uncomfortable. And we're going to have to be willing to tolerate a little of that discomfort to get out of the comfort zone. And this is another reason why I think this idea of center is so important that we talked about with balance, because if I want to, say, eat differently because I know that that's going to be good for my health, it's going to be a little uncomfortable to eat differently even though I know it's good for me. And so part of what I have to do to get out of the comfort zone of the old habit is to be willing to tolerate a little discomfort, stay centered, stay mindful, and keep repeating the new habit over and over and over again until it becomes the new comfort zone.
It even gets down to, from the way that I live my life, to literally thinking that I have enough time to stop for a minute and just be present and feel that, and then realize that I'm resetting. And that's a practice that I'll be, you know, talk about breath. All of a sudden I'm thinking, I'm getting a headache. Well, it's because I forgot to breathe all day. And you certainly know what I mean by that. It's not that I'm not breathing, but it's like I didn't really take time to enjoy my breath and have joy in that. Enjoy my breath. Okay, so that's a really good takeaway too, is if you're feeling so comfortable, you may be thriving on the stress, but it's really taking its toll. I mean, there's
that's
a lot
right.
of stress out there in this day and age. I really do notice it.
Well, and I think we get to be a little bit of adrenaline junkies.
I agree. The urgency, that is so not real. We have created that. And the other thing that I find is that people on the other end are not expecting a turnaround time in 3 minutes. And if they are, you can help them learn that it doesn't have to be it's like you can
exactly.
be a teacher for them.
Absolutely.
Upset their comfort zone a little bit. Now, people talk about this, and I will say that I'm a believer, but I want to know what your assessment is about the need to really work on, I don't like to use those words either, but attempt to focus on the positive. Does it really improve anything? Is there a real chemical reaction when you're looking to find the positive and coming from the glass half full as opposed to, I'm going to pull my hair out because my life is so out of whack?
Well, and there is, and there's a lot of work being done now in the field of positive psychology that is showing exactly what you're talking about, the positive influence on our neurology, on our biochemistry, on all kinds of parts of our body and mind when we focus on the positive. The thing I think you have to remember, though, is that focusing on the positive doesn't mean ignoring the negative. Focusing on the positive means that you're focusing on the things that give you strength, that give you joy, that give you that sense of balance so that you're in a better place to deal with whatever the stressors or the negative is.
To deal with all of it. That makes such good sense.
Yeah. I always joke about the people who go around saying, it's all good, it's all good. You know, sometimes it's not good, and I think it's okay to acknowledge that.
I do, because I say that, and you know what? It's not all good. It comes out of my mouth.
And
I'm like,
sometimes
no,
it isn't.
It's not today. Yeah.
And so the question becomes, okay, this isn't so good. What am I going to do to deal with it? And what state can I get myself into that's going to help me deal with it from the best place?
I know.
And if we're nourishing the positive, that helps us do
that's that. What's going to come around. I'll never forget this. BFF, breathe and feel your feet. Thank you for joining us for this segment of Mindful Living with Miraval Resort and Spa. Please be sure to join us for our next segment with Andrew Wolf, executive physiologist at Miraval. Andrew will be talking with us about his chapter in Mindful Living by Miraval, your exercise prescription for weight loss. We look forward to yet another opportunity to learn more about Mindful Living by Miraval. Anne, you are the best. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom today. It was delightful.
Well, you're very welcome. A pleasure to be with you.